It's real good right here, so you have to listen to it again. There used to be a guy up in, name of that place up there, Dallas, North Carolina, the Preacher's Fellowship used to go to. Independent Bible Baptist Church used to go to Preacher's Fellowship. Once a month, they'd go to different churches, and that church would host it. And I think it was Dallas. I can't remember the name of the church. I remember they had big speakers at the back. And they'd blow your brains out with them speakers. I'd sit at the back and they'd hit you in the back. You could feel it vibrating. And they had big speakers up here too. But there's one old guy there. He couldn't read nor write. He was very, very simple-minded. He wasn't pretty to look at. You'd think he didn't have nothing to be thankful for, you know. You could tell he was real poor. But they'd get to singing. That old boy would get excited. He get to shouting, and don't get in the way because he's going to run a couple laps. We call it running the bases. He'd run over here, run back there, and run over there, and run back over here. Whole time, just woo, 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 just shout and all, and make his run, and he'd sit down. He'd be quiet. But he was thankful. Amen. We got a lot to be thankful for. Don't make fun of people that's thankful. Amen. Do not do that. You'll be sorry you did. And all right. Luke chapter 10. I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight about a woman who was thankful that Jesus showed up at her house. And before I do that, though, we hadn't had testimonies in a while. Anybody want to preach a little bit tonight? Sister Sharon, go ahead. All right. We're going to read chapter 10. Start with verse 38. This is my... Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Thank you for the good testimonies. Help us now to sit at your feet for just a few minutes so we might go out of here this week better Christians than what we came in. And we want to be servants, Lord. We want to serve. We want to work for you, but sometimes we just need to sit and listen. So help us to listen, Holy Spirit. And whatever you tell us, we'll try our very best to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus. Lazarus was the one that Jesus raised from the dead after he was there 4 days. Matter of fact, one of them, when he got there, said he stinketh. He'd been dead so long, he was decaying. And so Jesus, this is the first time he was at their house. And now let me tell you something. Two sisters are not always alike. I don't know if you ever knew that or not. I had a younger brother than me, a year younger, and we were absolutely nothing alike. I have 3 daughters, and there's very little in them that is alike. Very little. Now I'm not saying they're not all loving, they're not all gentle, and all kind. They are. But far as the way they are, it doesn't take two sisters long to disagree. And you just have to be a good sister to, you know, to keep in love anyway. But so Jesus shows up at Mary and Martha's house. And Martha opened her home to Jesus and did the best that she could do to be a good hostess. Wouldn't you? Yes. I would too. I'd be the best hostess that he could find. Mary, on the other hand, if you read the story, according to Jesus, she opened her heart to the Lord. Not just her home, but her heart. And she tried her best just to love the Lord. Now, it's one thing to serve the Lord. It's another thing to love the Lord. And if you can do both, you'll be a great Christian. But they were different. And in our zeal to serve the Lord, sometime, like Martha, we ignore the Lord. The one we're supposed to be doing it for, we ignore him, see. I get busy around here in the past few weeks, and Brother Crouch fussed at me a while ago about moving some of that old stuff around and all this stuff. He said, no, you got me in here to do that. Don't do that. You got me in to do that. And he thinks I'm going to get hurt. He thinks I'm old as he is. But sometimes he'll fuss at me. Some of the men will fuss at me. But I just go, I imagine she was the same way. I'm impatient. I'm a lot better than I used to be. My wife should say amen right there. But I'm still impatient. And I want to see things get done. And if I have to, I'll do it myself. And so sometimes I do it myself. Poor Mr. Alton, he wasn't here today. I worked him so hard Thursday. And we ordered two more loads of rock. And he has this big old tractor, big old farm tractor. And he said, I'll bring it down there. Well, the rock was here at 8:30. And he wasn't here. So I read my Bible a little bit, you know, did a few things in my office a little bit. I got impatient and I called his house, and his wife answered the phone, of course, you know, Lily. And, I said, tell your husband I got two loads of rocks down here, but I ain't got no tractor and my shovel won't do all this. And she said, oh, didn't he call you? I said, no, he ain't called me. He was supposed to call you yesterday. She said, let me get him on the phone. So she went out and got him and said, it's the preacher and he's going to be mad. And so she gave him the phone, and he said, oh, brother, I meant to call you yesterday or day before. I put my tractor in the shop like I said I was going to do, and they fixed the leak, and I brought it home, and I went out there a little bit later, and there was a bucket full of hydraulic fluid on the ground. They broke something else while they was fixing that, and I got to get it fixed. But I was going fishing today with my brother. I started to say, come over here and get this Mexican backhoe like I got one and we'll just do it. He said, but I said, well, okay, if it's tore up, there ain't nothing you can do about it. Just go on and go fishing with your brother. He said, no, now I feel guilty. He said, Yeah, I went. And he said, I'm going to take it over there to that shop and tell them they got to fix it today. My pastor's waiting on it. I said, all right, do that. So about 1 o'clock, he drives up with the tractor. Well, he's in real bad health. He can't get around. And that tractor's about that high. And he'd go to getting up on it, and I'd have to put my hands in unspeakable places. Give up on it. He'd be all right after I got him on it, you know. He could. He worked till 8 o'clock. Got too dark to work. And he didn't finish. Matter of fact, you can't do the delicate work that we need to do now. We need a bobcat that Rick keeps accusing himself of bringing. But he couldn't finish it. But when he got off that thing, brother, he was walking like this. So I think that's why he was out today. Yeah. But I think he might have been wiser spending that time in prayer and Bible study and letting me drive the tractor. Amen. But the point is, all of us is a little bit like Martha. We need to be more like Mary. Mary listened. And that's not a popular reputation for a woman, to listen. I'm tiptoeing, okay? I'm tiptoeing. I'm holding back a lot. But she sat at the feet of Jesus and she listened, and Martha's running around and she's getting the bread and she's getting the bowls and she's getting the pitchers and then she's cleaning stuff up, and Jesus is sitting there teaching people. But she couldn't find time just to sit with everybody else and listen. Mary found a place where she could listen, she could forget her cares at the feet of Jesus. She had cares too. Don't you think she wanted to clean up? Don't you think she wanted to do things too? But she saw it more important to sit at the feet of Jesus because she could lay her cares down at his feet. Everybody wants to be the preacher. Everybody wants to be the pastor because they think you get to stand under the spotlight and everybody likes you and everybody applauds and everybody laughs and everybody enjoys it. But what you don't know is we have to spend a lot of time at his feet. A lot of time. And sometimes people, I know they're joking at me, they'll say, well, pastor, you got the easiest job in town. You just work 3 hours a week. I said, if that was it, I would have been a Methodist. I wouldn't have to work but 1 hour a week. Well, Presbyterian, an hour and a half. You know. And besides, a lot more work to it than that. But if you don't spend time at Jesus' feet, your cares will overload you, and you'll be so busy trying to fix things and work things out that you don't get to hear what he has to say. I get over here by myself. Sometimes, about once a week, I'll pick up my grandkids at school about 2:45, and I'll bring them up here with me. And the lights is out, you know, and everything's real quiet and everything. And they say, Papa, ain't you scared in here by yourself? I said, no, I love it in here by myself. I get to talk to the Lord. Amen. Ain't nobody wanting saying, preacher, what about this? Preacher, what we going to do here? Preacher, I forgot this. Preacher, I'm sorry I didn't show up. I get to be by myself with the Lord. Now, I think she found a place of stillness, and she found a place at Jesus' feet. Now, you can't find that if you don't humble yourself and admit you need some help. You're not going to find salvation standing up looking Jesus in the eye. You're going to find salvation at his feet.
That's it.
Everywhere I've ever read in the scriptures that people went to Jesus in the right attitude, they were on their face.
Yes.
Go to Revelation. They're not standing up. They're on their face. And they worship the Lord on their face.
Amen.
If you're going to get still long enough, And you want it, you're going to have to get down, not up. Now, let's be honest. We like, some of you said in your testimony, we're nothing. And even if you're saved tonight, if you got what you deserve from this week, you'd go to hell. And as a Christian, if you got what you deserve this week, you'd get chastised. And the Bible says he pities us because he knows we're made of but dust and dirt. It's not a clean thing. So she found the right place at his feet. In verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Well, Mary found a place where she could forget her cares.
Amen.
And her sister accused her, said, she doesn't care about what I'm going through. She did care, but she found a place where she could unload her cares and not work through them. You can't work through everything. We come in his presence, we read his word, we pray, we worship him. By the way, worship is usually what you do on your own alone. Church isn't necessarily where we worship God. It's where we learn about God, and we're inspired by God, and we're motivated by his word, and we find fellowship one with another. Worship is one-on-one with God. If you've never done that, you need to start getting off by yourself somewhere and get down on your face or on your knees and start talking to God and crying out to God. And it won't be long. He'll show up. And you'll have worship like you've never had before. But you're going to have to lay your cares down at His feet. And that's what she found. She found a place she could lay her cares down. And look, when you focus all your attention on Him and nothing else, you'll find Christ. You won't believe this, but people come to church looking for things wrong. Because they don't want to hear, really, and don't want to experience, really, what Jesus wants them to hear and experience. I've known women to come to church and purposely have a baby, somebody else's baby, not even their own, so they could go to the nursery so they wouldn't have to sit and preach it. I've known children to come to church and purposely cut up so mom and dad would take them out so they wouldn't have to sit at the feet of Jesus. And by the way, when that happens, there's some things that would help that. But I've known men to come to church and they'll find excuses to go in and out. And you're not going to get what you need until you get calm and you sit down and you focus on Jesus Christ and leave the chicken to Colonel Sanders and the Chinese food to the buffet. You leave all that stuff out there. When I come to church, I forget all those things. Then in verse 39 it says this, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and what? Heard His word. Now you ought to serve the Lord. He said, pray therefore the Lord of harvest, He sent forth laborers, because the laborers are few, but the harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of work to be done. And most people don't want to do the work. It's certainly hard to blame Baptists for overworking. I'm one of them, I know. But you know, sometimes you just need to hear the word. Amen? Now, I'm the pastor. I don't get preached too much. I have to watch YouTube video preaching. And Brother Holroyd reminded me a while ago, it ain't going to be but a few weeks, we're going back to the Sword of the Lord conference. And I want that preacher to point his finger right at me. I want them to sing a song out of the choir that's sung right at me. Because that's what I'm going for. And they're going to teach new technology, and they're going to teach about music, and they're going to teach about Sunday school and all that. But look, I've been around this stuff a long time. I could probably teach them a few things on that. What I need somebody to preach to me. I need the Word of God. I need it. I got to have it. And she found out, if I sit at the feet of Jesus, I'm going to receive the Word of God. But if I run around here like a chicken with my head cut off, did they say that up north, chicken with my head cut off? They learned it from us. And look, if I run around here like a chicken with my head cut off, I'm not going to get to hear everything He says. And it might be that one word that I needed. I remember one time we went up to Gaffney, South Carolina. Open Door Baptist Church. Dr. Belcher was the pastor. Wonderful church, about 200 people. And Billy, you're like this. Sammy Allen was preaching. Oh, amen, amen. That's the way he says amen. Amen, amen. He's from down around Resaca, Georgia. And he sounds like it too, buddy. And he'll get to preaching. And he got preaching on the grace of God. And he'd wear a glass when he'd read, but he'd take them off when he'd preach and he'd spin them like that one. He'd look at you like that. He'd walk up now and down the aisle. He'd say, I got hung up on that word grace. That word grace. He said, I got hung up on that word grace. And he'd sweat. He just pour sweat all over you. He'd spit on you. He'd spit on you like I just did. And he said, I got hung up on that word grace. Grace. Do you know what grace means? Grace! Marvelous, matchless grace! And he'd run up and down the aisle two or three times, sweating and spitting. And I went all the way up there for that one word, grace. And I was so happy when I left. He come over and put his arm on me, his hand on me. He said, Brother Ronnie, we need that grace. That undeserved. Is that hurting you, brother? Maybe I better get a man over here. Listen,
Got that word grace. Brother Roddy, we need that grace, that undeserved, unmerited favor of God, Brother Ron.
Y'all ain't never seen a real Baptist. If y'all, if I ever brought a good preacher in here, you'd fire me. Listen. Listen. In order, I like that, bro. Write that down somewhere. Listen. In order to get fed by God, you're going to have to listen to His Word. Now, I can tell you sad stories, make you cry. My wife and daughters tell me not to tell my stories because it makes everybody cry. I don't have many happy endings. Well, I do. I got saved. But we need the Word of God. And in verse 39, that's how she got fed, was the Word of God. Now, while Martha's running around and doing all kinds of things and trying to be a good servant, she's hungry and she's starving herself to death. Don't even know. And her sister's sitting over her, every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. She was worried about the bread. She was worried about the milk gravy. She was worried about the biscuits. But her sister had the manna from heaven, the Word of God. And while she's running around sweating and snorting and being mad, her sister's over there receiving the peace of God through the Word of God. Now look, people come to church and they look for things wrong, you know. They don't like the way this one's dressed and they don't like the way the preacher murders the English, you know, and they don't like this singer. There's somebody in the choir they pick out, you know, and they're sitting there and they're trying to figure out how they could do it better. I'm going to give you two things about how you could do it better. Number one, you ain't doing it. Shut up. Number two, you don't need to figure out how to do it better. You need to sit there and receive the Word of God. If God wants you to do it, He'll let you do it. But they look for things. And they're busy about straightening everybody else out. And they're busy about working everything. But I've got news for you. Unless you sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, receive His Word, all your work is in vain. Every bit of it. And by the way, if you can play the piano so much better, why don't you play it? If you can pluck a guitar better than Billy can, why don't you pluck one? If you can preach better than me, I'll sit down. I'd like to hear it myself. Or teach a class. Amen? Come on. But I think what we need to do most of all and utmost is to sit and get fed by the Word of God. You know, this woman was so focused on her priorities that she missed the real point of Jesus even being at the house. He didn't come there to get bread. He could have made bread out of stones. He didn't come there to get water. He could have struck a rock and got water out of it. He could have called manna down from heaven. He could have filled up a field with doves like He did for the children of Israel. He didn't come to get fed or watered or waited on. He come to teach and to preach and to encourage and lift up the fallen and being a blessing and giving the Word of God. That's what He came for. What she should have done was said, Jesus, I'm sorry the house is a mess, but I'm not going to clean it up right now. You're here. Amen? You ever go to somebody's house? Well, I go visit people's house. They say, preacher, forgive my house. I said, I didn't come see your house. Ain't none of my business what your house looks like. If I didn't have a wife, you'd hate to see the pig pen I'd live in. Amen. I don't come see your house. Well, let me fix you something to eat. I didn't come to eat. I come see you. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to tell her. Look, you don't have to feed me. I want to feed you. So she found a place of stillness. And then she went to the Lord with her complaint. I mean, Martha did. Now, Mary had already found this, but Martha found out that there's also a place of supplication. He said, if you want it, ask for it. Ask, seek, knock, call. And if you want it, ask. He said, if you asked your father for a piece of fish, he wouldn't give you a serpent. And if you asked him for a piece of bread, he wouldn't give you a stone. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you what's good for you. And Mary already knew it. Martha had found it out. And so she went to the Lord. You know, the government can't straighten out your family. You're going to have to go to a place of supplication at the feet of Jesus. You know, that marriage counselor can't straighten out your marriage. You're going to have to find a place of supplication and fall down at the feet of Jesus. You know, the only thing that's going to rescue your children is if you sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm not against people trying to help people, but I got news for you. Unless he's in on it, every bit of it is in vain. Now, you need to get still, and then you need to bring out your supplication. He doesn't always give you everything the way you want it, but he will answer you. He didn't give her the answer that she wanted. Lord, can't you say something to her? She's sitting over there. She hadn't helped me at all. And I'm just in a mess around here. I'm trying to do all this by myself. He gave her an answer. Just wasn't the answer she wanted to hear. And then you can find you a place of service. Then you can get busy for the Lord. But if you don't get still, and you don't bring your supplications before the Lord, and you don't receive the Word of God, and you don't listen to the Word of God, and you're too busy, then whatever you're doing is the wrong thing to start with, because it's got you away from the Lord, so you're not serving Him right. I believe in a local church. I do not believe in an invisible universal church. That's Catholic theology. It's not Bible. Everywhere in the Bible, it was local church. It was visible. The church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth, and on, Galatia, and on. They were local, visible churches with local, visible pastors and deacons and members. Amen.
Yeah,
I think if you serve the Lord, it'll be through a local church. I don't think you'll do it through the 700 Club. I'll just go ahead and bust your bubble on him anyway. Man, raised all that money for all those years to buy 10 or 15 satellites at $50 million apiece, so they said the gospel could be channeled into all the huts in Africa and India and everywhere else where they don't even have electricity. And then he turns around, sells the whole thing to Fox Network for millions of dollars. Nobody knows how much. And they let him stay on the air 3 hours a week on the Fox Network. But look at all the trash they put on the Fox Network. Did he care? No, he didn't care. It was outside the local church. He was not accountable to anybody. PTL Club was the same way. You say, well, I know a lot of people got saved through the PTL Club. Well, you might know that. And yes, people could, they can get saved out here on the side of the road. But the local church is what he chooses for us to serve. Because if it doesn't, you're going to end up serving a man as they did at PTL. I like Franklin Graham. I like him. I like the, what's that organization he runs? Samaritan's Purse. I like that. Are y'all cold? But that don't, listen, that don't, I had two no's and one yes, and I like that. And look, we support them in some ways, but you're not to leave the local church and go up there and work for him and lay out of church all the time. And even he wouldn't want you to do that. If you don't watch out, you end up serving an organization instead of serving the Lord. You said, well, I do it through that organization. Well, Jesus died for the church. He didn't die for that organization.
Yes,
Jesus established church. He said that he built the church and the gates of hell not prevail against it. Not an organization or a club or something else.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now, if you want to send your money to that stuff, that's fine with me. But don't get mad at us when you can't find a place to sit.
Amen.
You just bought somebody's seat somewhere else. You want to send? Send them your extra. Amen. But the point being, if you're going to serve the Lord, you got to do it His way. You got to find a place of stillness at the feet of Jesus, and you can get born again there. And you find a place of stillness at the feet of Jesus, you can grow there by receiving the word He's going to give you. You find a place of stillness there, and then as you listen and as you grow, then you'll start realizing that I can talk to God myself. You don't need a pope. You don't need a preacher. I can go directly to the throne of grace. I can take my supplications. He promised to hear me. He begins to answer your prayers. You mature that much more. And then one day you say, Lord, use me. He says, all right. Every once in a while, I'll meet a preacher, and I'm sure you've heard him, that said he got saved and called to preach on the same day. I have a problem with that. I might be wrong. I can't find scripture against it. But I do find a lot of scripture on growing in grace and maturity. I do find scripture that says you don't make a novice a pastor or a deacon. But sometimes they do that, and they turn out to be great speakers. But to me, I think a man or a woman ought to get saved, get still at the feet of Jesus, listen to Him, grow, supplicate, bring your requests to Him, and that'll encourage you and strengthen you and grow some more. And then, by the way, whatever happened to praying about more faith and praying about more wisdom and praying about more ability? And then once you do that, then the Lord says, okay, I got something for you to do. How many kids were in the nursery this morning, Patty? Oh, she's got one now. How many was in? Two this morning. You wouldn't want them to preach, would you? To already do a different message. Every once in a while you'll see a video of some little kid about that tall, and he's standing up there screaming and hollering, they say he's preaching.
Yeah.
He's not. He's just quoting what he's heard somebody else preach in the way that they preached it, or the way they wanted him to do it. Now, I'm not against him being brought up, and boy, if I had a boy, I'd bring him up, I'd dress him like a preacher, I'd teach him like a preacher, and I'd pray God make a preacher out of him, but I couldn't make a preacher out of him.
Right.
He needs to grow. He needs to sit at the feet of Jesus. You Sunday school teachers, we shouldn't call a Sunday school teacher to serve in a class just because they come to church. Just because they made a profession of faith, they need to spend some time at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Then you serve.
Amen.
Ron knows every once in a while we'll have some guy show up here. He said, I'm a preacher. And that's caused trouble a couple of times. So you know what I tell him now? I said, we don't need no more preachers. We got one. You say, that's me. No, you don't know. They used to call them jacklegs. Y'all remember that? Call them jackleg preachers. I ain't cussing them. I really don't know what that word means. I'm just gonna listen. I might be cussing. I don't know. Jackleg. First time I heard it was an old woman at Eastside Baptist Church. She said, our pastor called that jackleg preacher to come in there and preach. So he's ignorant. Man, I don't know. Lord forgive me if I'm cussing. But they come in and listen. I've sat at the feet of Jesus. A long time. And I've had to take a lot of cares and burdens to the feet of Jesus. And I've had to listen when I didn't even want to listen. Haven't you? But when I got through listening, I was wiser. And I was stronger.
And I was more mature. As a young preacher, you know what I wanted to do all the time? Preach. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to preach. I got ahead of the Lord when I first started. I was going to Bible college, and there was a guy from Indian Trail going there. And he knew I was from Lancaster, but we were living in Rock Hill, of course, had a wife and kids. He said, why don't we go back down to Lancaster and start a church? I said, that sounds like a good idea. Now, you got to remember, I was 25 years old, maybe. I didn't know how to start a church. Didn't even know how you were supposed to do it. I just knew there was a lot of people in Lancaster going to hell. I said, all right, let's do it. So we went to Lancaster down on, they called it Midway back then. It was up the street from the entrance to the Lancaster Springs cotton mill. Biggest cotton mill under one roof. And all the, there was two or three bars there, you know, and a pool room and a little old junky stores and stuff. And the mill done shut down. And well, we're shutting down. And so we went and rented that old liquor store. Y'all have heard the story. With our own money, we rented old one-room liquor store. One room, one bathroom. And we made it into two rooms. We didn't even know how to build a wall, but we went and bought some two-by-fours and sheetrock. And somehow got all nailed together with a door on it so we'd have a little back room. And so if somebody wanted to pray, we could take them into that little, I call it room, you know, little back room. And we went down there. We didn't know what we was doing. And within a month, he was gone. Don't know where he went. Never saw him again. He's gone. And every Saturday, I'd go down there and knock on doors. Every Saturday, I'd go all over that Mill Hill trying to win people to Christ. I won a few. They never came to church. They were usually already going to church somewhere. They just wasn't saved. And boy, we'd have 10 or 12 in there. It was a big crowd, 10 or 12 people. I just preach. And I was still going to Bible college at night and working. But I didn't know enough to do what I was doing. I hadn't sat at his feet long enough to do what I was doing. And so finally, after 18 months, we done moved to another place, a nicer place. I just gave up. I'd gave up. We'd baptized a few. We'd have 12, 13 coming. We'd baptized a few. And I'd won a lot of people knocking on doors, but they wouldn't come in church. And I was a young preacher. And so I was listening to these preachers, had these big churches, you know, and they said, if you don't have people down the aisle every week, you ain't right with God. And if people ain't getting saved and baptized, you ain't the right kind of preacher. And so I hadn't sat at the feet long enough with Jesus. No, they didn't know what they were talking about. So I gave up and went to Blessed Hope. Went to Blessed Hope, I think it was, or maybe it was Grace. But we got to sometimes not do anything. Sit at his feet. I'll tell you what, if you ever do that, then the Lord can do what he did for them. Look at 43 and 44, and I'll quit. I'm sorry. Ain't no 43 and 44. Yeah. I'm sorry. Now, listen. Isaiah, here it is. Isaiah 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee and he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. Now there it is. You can't serve until you see it. And when you see it, you got to bring your supplication. And when you bring your supplication, he'll answer them. And then when he answers them, you'll see what he can do and what he will do and what he won't do. And you'll grow and you'll mature. And then one day you'll be sitting there and God will say, or the pastor will, we need a choir director. And you'll say, preacher, I don't know, preacher. I'll pray about it. I said, you don't have to pray about it. I've already prayed about it. Right? Yeah. He didn't send you here for nothing. If you'll do that, let me tell you something. One day, the Lord will tell you, he'll say, look, I want you to teach Sunday school class
I want you to go talk to the pastor. Tell him to give you a Sunday school class. And by the way, if that happens, I'll probably pass out. You'll probably have to get a new pastor.
Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her or tell her, therefore, that she help me. That sounds like a good request, doesn't it? But look here, and Jesus answered and said, twice, Martha, Martha. You ever had your mama do that? Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I want you to get along by yourself sometime this week. I just want you to get out and get somewhere where won't nobody bother you. Sometimes I go out in the woods. I've done it out here. And by the way, the people that own this land came by yesterday. Was it yesterday, Rick? So whoever
yes,
told me.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday, Tom. And I had contacted the church that owns that dirt road down through there in that cemetery. And I asked him, could we use that if we needed it? And he sent word yesterday, y'all use any of that you need. Just use it. Driveway, parking, whatever you need, use that. Now I want you to get along by yourself. I'm going to get over there in the woods and thank God for letting us use that property over there. We'll put some gravel in it maybe. We'll do something, you know. And we're going to have a bonfire to clear off that mess Rick piled up out there. But get off by yourself. I'm serious. Get off by yourself. Just sit there and say, Lord, Lord, speak to me, Lord. And then open his book and start reading it. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll sit long enough and you read long enough, you'll hear him speak to you through his word. And I'll guarantee you this, it'll do you better than all the work that you want to do for him in the world. And we